Hey there, coaches, and welcome to the Late Mail Crew Round 5 Team List podcast for your Tuesday. Joined as always, we have Timbo Sliced, fantasy analyst here, going through the team list changes and that little bit of extra chaos that this team list has brought for us. Hand it over to you, Timmy. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, mate, I'm doing pretty good. Pretty keen to start getting this fantasy train actually moving in the right direction after a couple of chaotic weeks. And I'm sure I wasn't the only one last week playing with 15. So
yeah, I was very, very lucky to manage 17. I actually have 17 again, but they're very, very far from an ideal 17, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case for a lot of people, especially over the next couple of weeks as they try and balance their teams out. We've got a couple of people that are starting to actually make cash, and trying to get those guys in is going to prove a little bit tricky.
And one in particular, Dud, that's actually scored himself a starting spot this week. So that's pretty good news, because I'm pretty sure he was on the chopping block for everyone after his very, very handy single-digit score last week.
I don't know about you, but he was definitely out of my team this week until I saw him starting.
I already had it locked in even before the team was hit. So, yeah, I think I'll be pretty happy to reverse one in a good way. So team list, I think he was. We keep not referencing to him, but Sam Hughes finally gets his start. The 60 to 80 minutes,
yes,
forward for the Bulldogs. He just has been just plodding in the background, and just to sum it up, he got 14 minutes and bombed a try in that 14 minutes, and that was about it. Apart from that, it was just tackles. Didn't do too much for us. He was ready for the sell button. He lost cash this week, I think, as well, first week. So everyone had the sell button on him, but he's getting the start. After all these injuries, he's finally got a start. So I'm hoping for great things. I mean, we saw what he did in the trials, right? 80 minutes he played. Well, the whole trial, and you've got him playing for 14 minutes. Give us a break. Come on.
Yeah, I agree. I think, and this was my big thing about starting the year with Sam Hughes, it felt like he was only ever an injury away. Apparently, he was three injuries away, but he was only ever really an injury away from getting that starting spot. And I think we saw it last year with Preston. Once he gets a starting spot, he should start making some good cash. So I think owners should definitely hold up the faith.
Just picture, right? Because you've got, like, on the other side, you've got Max King, and they're like for like. And I reckon that's just a solid start. If you're starting with Hughes and King, that's a 1-2 punch starter that'll really rock that middle to start the games. It just doesn't make sense to me that it's taken this long, right?
Yeah, look, neither of us are NRL coaches, but it definitely leaves us scratching our heads.
And this is very much where the fantasy side of things doesn't always necessarily align with the real teams and how they go, the trainings and all that. So I guess there's a lot that we don't see, but he's got the motor and the amount of forward issues that Bulldog squad's got, how this bloke hasn't had a start yet. Everyone, like, every forward pack in their top 30 has had a start over him. Like, he has done something to Sorrell that I don't know what it is, but he's done something to him. I don't know, just had a fillet of fish in the car and left his car smelling. Probably just
buying a fillet of fish to start with, which would be enough to play reserve grade.
Yeah. It turns out it's his favourite burger at Macca's, and that's the reason. That's the reason enough.
All right, let's rock and roll this, mate. I'm going to try and keep this a little bit shorter, try and really focus on any of the key changes to teams. For Melbourne, the big boys are back. Cam Munster and Jerome Hughes, they're back in the team. And Sean Bloor holds his spot in the 11. Not too much else there to talk about. Broncos, one key change, but probably not particularly relevant, although a few people do own Wilson, so they'll be a bit disappointed he's not in the side.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was finally starting to make some cash, and he got the name, the call up, and
he's
not there. But another key one is no Joe Chan. That's the cost of the Blore keeping the place, is that Chan's still out. But that's what they said. The hand infection was going to be 2 weeks, so we were kind of expecting this one, right?
So he's possibly one more week. You never know your luck in the big city, but
right.
Honestly, I would just jump ship anyway.
I think so.
I think Blore will do enough to hold that spot going forward.
We also don't know what it looks like with Nass back in that side as well, because he was always going to be the one that pushed him out of there, because Liero's been sitting at that lock spot. So unless Nass comes back slow off the bench, I don't know. Like he's played off the bench a lot. He's also played from starting, and I think he's just got to start. I reckon he's got to do that and take that sting out of the middle early. And Liero can easily flick back to that 11. That's what he did last year. That was always going to be the concern with Chan, was that with everyone fit, with Blore and Nass, I don't know where he fits in this side.
Yeah, and that's where I think was going to be a big issue. I know they've got Liero on the bench, so he's definitely one that could miss out and that sort of stuff, but it will be something that's worth watching over the next couple of weeks. But for now, just be thankful that, just as a general footy fan, that Cam Munster and Jerome Hughes are back. Every chance that Cam Munster is someone that you might start to target in the next couple of weeks as well, if he's back to his regular best.
Yeah, I don't think he's the one to jump on straight away. He's got one of those injuries that's really hard to come back from 100%, and it just gets to a point where he's 90% there, so that they just got to chuck him in, because unless he just stopped playing for a few seasons, he's not going to get to 100%, unless there's just those specialists in the US, for some reason, these magical specialists that can fix anything in the US.
Yeah.
It's probably the only other option they hadn't gone for. So
with Xavier Willison, now I don't know if he's gone into an 11-day stand down or not, because he suffered a head knock at training. So he could be back next week, but 11-day stand down might make it a little bit tricky for him to even play next week if he's suffered a training.
Yeah, he hasn't got enough money to really sell either. That's the tricky part of it. We've got a lot of blokes that are sitting in these high 200s, even early 300s, that we're all stuck with, that we just can't get rid of. And thankfully, some of them have actually pushed on with some pretty good scores, like the Flannos, the Hutchos, that have kind of pushed beyond that 300 mark. And that's when you can start, once you get to 400 or 500, that's all the cash cows need to do, right? Once they get to those stages. But these blokes that haven't fired, especially Chan, I think it's time to move on. But there's not too many really to look at this week, right? Like, if we just go straight to the sheepies right now,
I honestly wouldn't. There's probably not too many. Definitely not any sub 300k cheapies that I'll be looking at, and I think there's very few 300 to 400k guys that I'll be looking at. Probably the only one is, if you didn't start with Sam Hughes, now would be the time to jump on Sam Hughes and don't trade him.
That's true. Given
he has that starting spot. Josh Curran will be there in the forwards. He's not in that sub 300, 400k bracket, but he could be one to look at, as he and make good cash when he's in the starting second row spot. And Angus Crichton is in that 400 to 500k bracket.
Make
good cash if he gets on a bit of a run.
Well, here's the obvious target for the Satilli, right? If you've lucked it, and Satilli moving to the bench obviously is not ideal, considering what we've seen him do off a starting spot. If he's going to limit those minutes, he doesn't necessarily come on as that really strong impact player like a May, where The moment they hit the field, they're already smashing through fantasy points. He's basically got to be handed the ball for any points to happen. I think Angus is different though. Like if you said like Angus gone past, I mean he was 600-700K. Yeah. He was in the upper echelon of the second rowers two 3 years back. So if we see him starting and getting a decent run at it, it's a pretty obvious swap out, right? Like just well, he's the bloke who's got the starting spot, so let's just swap it to him.
Yeah, and it feels like that's pretty much it. Like, go to Angus Crichton, get what you can out of him, because you know that he should start making decent tackles. Just trying to get a quick look at to see what he generally gets when he gets that 60 minutes.
And you only need, I'm just looking at it now, you need 21K to do that in one trade. The only thing he missed out on is Satili's dual positioning, though, which is a bit unfortunate with those who have dropped Haas. And also, like myself, anyone who picked up McInnes, for example, they're obviously down this week. So some people might be a bit light on the mids, but hopefully you've got a few other of those. It's not ideal, but maybe like a Jaden Salmon, for example, who have got that ability just to switch out so you can throw Crichton there, Salmon moving into that forward spot, and away you go.
Yep. And just looking back at Crichton when he plays in that 50 to 60 sort of minute range, at around 65 minutes, he normally averages about 50. That's over time. So
And considering, I mean, and this is also like when he was in his prime, but I mean, Satili's average points at the moment are sub 30. Not ideal for a bloke getting 60 minutes, 65 minutes. He's the type of guy that you think he's off the field and then he takes a run all of a sudden because he's not scoring points. And look, years gone past, especially, we did find he was a bit more, he was attacking stat oriented. Tated more, and really, but he really relies on those tackle busts and those tries and try assists out the back or offloads to get it working. But I think his offloading game's kind of slowed down as well. Whether that was something that maybe it was giving away too many errors, not too sure. But he's kind of changed that in his game, and it's really seen his points drop back, which obviously is not ideal for us. He's been on the chopping block for a few weeks now, on notice, and
may as well have been on the chopping block since round one.
His break even's in the 40s, and he's doing 30s. So this is the week that unless he just comes on and just lucks a try, which we all know you shouldn't be reliant on, I think it's time to move on him. Happy to be wrong, happy for him to go well, but I just can't based on what we've seen. Based on the evidence, Your Honour, I can't see it happening.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. Moving on from that, the Knights have got a Kalen Ponga that is firing. How good did he look last week, mate?
Yeah, no, he did look good. Another key point as well is just purely the matchups that the Knights have. I think that's another key point around looking at Ponga. Especially the fact that there's not a whole lot of other good news fantasy wise with this Knights outfit. So, but yeah, I mean, him doing well means the Knights are doing well. We seem to be able to be in the struggle of things, but we just can't get those wins down. So, apart from that first week blunder with Raiders, our foreign against isn't too bad for that reason, but. The competition points aren't coming, whereas last year some of those wins came from winning those struggles. So it'd be really interesting. We're coming up against the Dragons that are literally hot and cold every week this year so far. It'll be really interesting to see where we land with guys like this because we've had a few tough matchups lately. Yeah, I think, and Ponga's always going to be behind it, right? Like, it's just, it's the way. But to take you to try and sell you on Ponga a little bit more, the Knights have got the Dragons. Generally is a high fantasy scoring game. Roosters, which is a bit of a tougher matchup, but then you've got Bulldogs, Dolphins, which, let's be honest, they're first on the table now, but they can be hot and cold as well. Then we've got the Warriors rematch, Tigers, Titans, then the bye, and then the Bulldogs again. So you've got a pretty... Over the next five games, I think they've got the best matchup, bar none. So you generally, if you're one that focuses on matchups, Pong is the one bloke who's going to dominate through that. We've also got a sneaky Jaden Brayley who's getting a start too at a discount from his limited mission minutes off the bench. And a few people have jumped on KPP as well. That was another one that people have jumped on that. Look, he was at a bit of an awkward price point, but he's just fun to watch.
Yeah, 100%. Just want to circle back to Brayley for a second, mate.
Mm.
Probably need him to be playing about that 65 minutes.
Yeah, it's really tricky with Crossland a factor still. Adam O'Brien loves the bloke. He's just had a few bum games, plus the fact that Brayley's the captain. But you don't, like, they're not going to run 40-40. I can't imagine them doing that. Like, even the Raiders gave up on the 40-40 hookers. So, I mean, 60 just makes sense, right? Unless they've really been... The tricky part is Brayley's injuries, right? That's the elephant in the room. Do you put a bloke who's injury prone in the middle to relieve Elliott to keep those minutes there and also allow and justify Crossland to get there if we use like the regular hooker rotates into the lock spot to give that player I can't see that happening.
No, neither can I,
because the bloke's going to be gone for the season again from some reason, and that's just at hooker. But his price is pretty juicy because he's done the limited minutes from the bench. So that's what we like to see. But I think you need to see him right and see that rotation happen at least once. We've gone through what those lineups look like for the next few weeks. They've got the Roosters, which is a bit of a tougher matchup next week, but. If he gets those 60 minutes, it's really going to bring his break-even down. So you can afford to even wait 2 weeks or maybe even 1 week if you want to look at another hooker. But, I mean, Abby Corrissau at the moment, he's doing some crazy stuff. And a lot of us still have Cheese. A few people are still stuck with Lussick, but now Lussick's an 80. By the looks of things, he's meant to be playing 80 this week with the forwards, not to go too far. But, yeah, it's really, really tricky. Like, this week seems to be like a redemption round for a few of these duds that haven't really been firing.
Yeah, 100%. All right, let's move on to a couple of these other teams flogging in. We'll just circle, just move forward for a bit. Zach Lomax has been scoring really well on the wing, but I probably would still avoid him. From a fantasy perspective, his price is a bit too much. Tom Eisenhuth is named in the 13, but after last week's late switch with Raymond Faitella Mariner, that could be possible again. But Eisenhuth has actually made a fair bit of cash so far. I think he's nearly up to 100 grand already.
Yeah.
So he's probably... So, Floggy, moving on, I reckon now's a really good time to bring Cookie in. Welcome, Cookie.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Now, let's talk about Thompson there for the Bunnies. He's on that profitable left wing spot. Could jag a few tries. What do you reckon? Just under 400K? Would you look at him as a buy?
It needs to be 100K cheaper for me, and you don't know, like, because JD's moving things around, like Floggy said, like, it's, you know, positions are quite volatile at the moment. So, yeah, it's the matter. It's a risk, but I'd need it to be 100K cheaper, personally. I think Munro is actually going to be ahead of Thompson when he's back after the bye. But then you've also got the other thing in that whoever plays worse out of Milne or Thompson could just get flicked. Like, you know, it's just too unsure around that, like, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair enough. I mean, Cam Murray is still doing good things, but where possible, I'd be trying to avoid Bunnies. I know Damien Cook got a great score last week, but again, he could be back on the bench in a couple of weeks.
Well, just for that, Timmy, Havili got injured in Cup last week. He was a knee or ankle, and he's not named anywhere next week, but I'm not sure of the severity on that injury yet. Yeah.
Sounds good. All right, well then, moving over to the Warriors side, Tamari Martin is in that number 6 jersey, and we were kind of hoping that would be someone else, weren't we?
Yeah, Harris DeVita, the 5'8 of Warriors past, with whatever happened there. He was looking nice and juicy, as much as we all don't need another halfback, but he was sub 300, going to make free up a bit of cash for yourself to maybe upgrade to get some of those other guys who will run through, like a Ponga or someone like that, to really make it work, especially with not too many cheapies starting this week. And unfortunately, he's on the extendeds, which is definitely not good. It looks like Lussick's won out at least that bench utility spot. So unfortunately, you just can't go there. We'll have to have a look and find out what's going on.
Yeah, I agree. So, Seagulls, not too much there that we need to talk about. They're pretty much as they have been for the last couple of weeks. I know a few fans are getting a little bit frustrated, Cookie, with Ben Trbojevic. Now, my thinking with Burbo is that you hold him until he is not named in the starting 13. As long as he's in the starting 13, you hold him in your side.
Like, if you're looking at trading him out, you must not have any other fires. Like, I've got about 8 other issues before I even look at him, you know. He's, like, as you said, I fully agree. Like, if he's starting, you know, hope he gets maybe 55, 60 minutes, puts up a late 20s, around that, 30. I mean, you know, what more can we ask for? Break even's about 25. So, you know, he's not going to bleed cash.
No. That's my thinking there. I think as long as he's starting in the 13, then you hold him in your side. And until such times that changes, I wouldn't worry about it.
Ideally,
maybe you can try and loop him, would be the ideal situation, is that you try and loop him.
Yeah.
But I think we've got too much carnage at the moment to be trying to focus on loopers.
Yeah.
They've got some nice matchups coming up too. It's a pretty rough one this week coming up against the Panthers. Even without a Cleary, we saw what they can do. They go back to the Warriors, but then they've got a Titans, Eels, Raiders, Dolphins. And then they've got a bit of a rough trot for the next little bit after that. So I feel like there's going to be some tougher matchups coming up. But before then, we've got a few nice ones. So I think hold him for that. And when we start approaching that round 11, they got Broncos, Storm, by Panthers. It's a pretty rough 4 weeks. So I feel like that's the point when we start looking at selling him, maybe. But centres, I don't know. All my centres are mostly wing fullback centres, and they're all in my wing fullback spot at the moment.
Yeah. No, I'm not worried about him yet. For the Panthers, I think if you jumped on someone like Liam Henry, he's done very well for you so far. A number of those guys continue to score well. I know a few people started the year with Taylor May, and I think you just need to ride that one, because they're going to be a bit like what you were just saying, Floggy, about Burbo and his matchups, and he's had some really poor ones lately. Taylor May equally has had some really poor matchups. It happens to be that Targo has been the one that they've thrown the ball to, because that's where the second rower has ended up at centre and things like that. So
They got some nice matchups happening for them as well.
Yeah.
In the next little bit, they had one of the roughest starts of the season, so he was probably hitting medium, but I feel like that's going to turn around pretty quick soon, especially with the comeback of Cleary, whenever that well may be.
Yep, 100%. Looking like round 7 for that at this stage. That's what Cleary himself is reporting. Dolphins, not too much else going on there. Flug is scoring really well. Bostock's making some decent catch. And then you've got Hammer, who's just doing Hammer things. Josh Kerr has actually made some decent cash. And Ewan Aitken is still there with another 50 in the second
round. Yeah, I mean, having a second row center playing second row, that's the ideal spot, right? But
yeah,
you know, he didn't start there. There's injuries that got him there. So but he's now in it. His cash, he's now bottomed out with his cash and starting to make cash now. So if you want him, this is a good week to jump on, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. What's the situation with Connolly Lemuelu?
Well, at the moment, he's nowhere to be seen. Like, he's not in anything. He's not even in the extenders at the moment.
No, so I thought it was just a head knock, and that's why he wasn't there, and that's why he was supposed to be back this week. But I haven't heard...
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen the injury situation to see why he's not there. Cookie, do you know anything about Lemuelu?
The last I knew was is before the bye, he had that knee problem.
Yeah, it's his knee. Expected him back round 6, casual.
Yeah.
So that might be the only risk with dumping on Aitken is that next week Lemuelu is supposed to be back.
Yeah, or the week after even. So you might only get Aitken for 2 weeks at the most.
Yeah,
Aitken has the Kurt Mann problem where it's too handy utility-wise to lock in a starting spot. So he'll get moved around everywhere, whereas you've got Lemuelu, who's generally just a second rower. So he'll get the starting spot and even likely get put in a rotation with Aitken instead. So
and apologies to Max Plath owners. I ripped him.
He killed him, mate. You killed him.
I absolutely killed him. I brought him in last week and he got suspended for 2 weeks with a hip drop. And I brought in Galvin last week and he got suspended for 2 weeks with a hip drop. So look, no, I'd be very nervous if you get any of the players that I'm buying this week.
Yeah, no, I think Galvin's actually my fault. In the middle of the game I stupidly said, "Oh, it's good to see that all the mass ownership that brought in Galvin didn't put the voodoo on him." I think it was 10 minutes from that point until he's done now 2 weeks. You got to hold him. His break even is just way too small. He was set for 50 plus. He's just doing amazing things. You got to hold that bloke. He's got a lot more money to make.
Yep, 100%. And that takes us to the Tigers, where I think probably someone to start looking at is Yuto Kamano. He's had two games in a row where he scored really, really consistently in really consistent minutes. He's someone I think you need to have a little bit of a look at in the next week or two.
It's just tricky pricing. He's above him. Like, he's in 600s. Like, he's been puttering along up that scale for a bit too long. So if you want to bring him in, you're kind of bringing him in for a good haul, considering you can get Terrell May, for roughly the same price as well. And we've seen how impacting he is, especially with his fantasy scores. So,
And then the other one, well, I mean, there's a couple. Appy kind of dropped back last week with a 40 swill, but I think he's good for owners if they've got him. And Samuela Finu, not Latu, who is making his debut this week, but Samuela Finu has had a 54, a 45, and a 42 coming off the bench the The biggest problem for him is that his minutes aren't consistent. He's played between 35 and 60 minutes in 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's and it was interesting. The middle game, I think it was the Sharks. He only scored 25 in but played decent minutes. But then either side of it played. The try for his first round round two got him a higher score, but that Eels game he only played 37 minutes. Yeah. And smashed out a 42. Like he's good. And he's kind of in at that price point where if he keeps doing what he's doing, we're all gonna hate not getting him. Like myself, I didn't get Terrell May and now I'm hating it. So I don't know whether he's one that we jump on pretty soon or we just wave him away.
So I think if you're looking at Satili Tupanua at the moment, if you're someone that's sitting on Satili,
that's true. And
particularly if you don't want to give up that DPP that Satili offers, Finu would be one that you could go to.
Yep.
At least at this point in time he's making cash, so he's going to keep going up. Whereas Satili, obviously, he isn't making that cash.
Yep. Yeah. I think, as we said, Satili's, he's done. Another one that we kind of glazed over as well was the move back for Roger Tuivasa-Sheck as well, back to centre. Does generally kill his fantasy prospects because he's kind of priced out. I own him, and unless you're keeping someone like that for the long haul, I think I've got a move on him because he's priced out, and I don't think he's going to get the 47 break even he's due for. Same with Satili, he's not going to hit his break even unless he manages to freak a try, but it's only going to be good for another week or two, and you've got to move on him. So, as you were saying, I think that's a handy trade that we will probably see a few of those happen this week as well.
Yep. Cowboys wise, there's not too much else going on there. When the Cowboys go well, Scott Drinkwater tends to go well. Valentine Holmes has quietly snuck into the 700K mark this season. So I guess if you owned him, you've made 60, 70K on him, even though he had that shocker 2 weeks ago. Kulikefu Finefuiaki is helping out owners, even though he did have a small score last week. Definitely not one to be worried about. Ruben Cotter got a 40-odd, but he'll be fine going forward.
On Cotter, before we move on, this is now the second week in a row where he's had an early exit to the game by 5 or 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something to keep an eye on. It just seems to be a niggle at the end of the game that he just keeps getting taken off for.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I'm not too concerned. I think he's one that I'm probably just going to hold through to Origin, Neil. Okay. Deal with that around Origin time when I see where we're at with a few others. But for my thinking, I'd sit on Cotter just until there's a reason that he's not in the side. I reckon you just sit on him.
Yep.
For the Titans, Jaden Campbell probably didn't hit the heights that people were hoping for on his return. But I think that's probably more of a reflection of how poor the Titans actually are at the moment. Aaron Clark is listed in the 13. Now, if he happens to hold that spot going forward, he's less than 450K. And you've probably got a week to look at him, make sure he gets that spot again next week when Liu is back. And interestingly, David Fifita is named on the bench, so he's break-even.
Well, it's also a bit of a trap on that on Cleese Haas as well, who's kind of been a bit of a dark horse. So anyone who kind of jumped on him, he hasn't made heaps of cash, but his points have been good. I think he started out just at over the hill of 400. And his scores actually haven't been that bad. He was kind of one that's gotten under the radar a bit, but that's also a lot of people didn't go that way because of DeFi not that far along. I'm just having a look now. Break even a 67.
Is that for Fifita?
Fifita, yeah. So
let's say he plays that 55 minutes again off the bench and he gets around that 50 again. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to drop to just about 800K.
Yep. Estimations. This isn't the predictor or anything, but just purely estimations. If he gets a 50, if he gets a 58, he drops 10K, and that's it. So I reckon maybe hold your horses on the 58, and yeah, about 20-30K loss will get him to the 800K. But his cash, that's him bottoming out, which is nuts considering how many other players just can't even get even close to that 800. That just shows how good he is. And he's one of those players that when you don't have him in your side, you hate watching that team play.
And one thing for me, just in my own, for my own stuff, mate, one thing this week I'm very excited to see is Josiah Paulu. I'm really excited to see him play. I had a lot of good things. He was supposed to play Queensland under-19s last year and missed out due to injury. So we'll be excited to see him play, but that's just for my own personal thing. For the Raiders, look, there hasn't been too much change other than the fact that Zach Hosking is out with a head knock. I reckon that makes Zach Hosking a trade this week.
Yeah, I can't see them not playing him, though. I mean, as we've discussed previously, everyone's got some fires to deal with. So if Hosking's your answer to put out some of those fires, you can't really blame you. But he's break-even 62 running at the moment because he did have a very low score last week, and he was on one. So he was on a run. His break-evens were low, and he was just getting to that price point where just one bad game is just going to completely turn the apple cart, and that's what happened. So he needs to be 60-odd just to be able to get to come clean. And, I don't think he's going to get that unless he's starting.
Yeah, and if you're someone that owns – and, I mean, the good thing with Hosking is he doesn't lose cash while he's not playing, so you could do it next week, for instance.
Worst case, but I think if you're just going to wait and see next week, there's not much else you're going to be able to really look at. I feel like if you've made that decision to move on him, unless you really want him back and you think he's going to get that start spot back, but we saw him get benched soon as Elliot Whitehead was healthy. Whitehead's the captain. We knew from the start, and that's why lots of people did not go Hosking. Purely and simply, Elliot Whitehead, that's Elliot Whitehead's spot. He's the captain. He's always going to get that spot. He plays okay off the bench, but that's not his spot, unfortunately. And it's a headache that we're all going to be looking at for the other guy, the other cheapie on this side for this year that's now had Big Red breathing down his neck. And, yeah, I think Smithy's owners are feeling the heat soon too.
Cookie, you're a Smithy's owner, aren't you?
No, mate, I don't have him.
What would you do if you were a Smithy's owner this week? Would you be trading or would you be holding?
Do you know what his break-even is?
Break-even 44. He got a 34 last week, so he's kind of... he's in that price range again because he didn't kind of go that well because they obviously had Horsburgh back, so Horsburgh did quite a lot of work when he jumped on.
Depends how many red dots people have, I think, as to what you can do. Because I know it. Yeah, I think it's not urgent. You could give it one more week if you have to. Mm.
And he's at a nice price point too. Like he's at 563 at the moment.
Yeah.
So worst case scenario, if he gets a 40, he might lose maybe 5 or 10K. But that's not going to kill his cash prospects. Like he's done his job.
Yeah.
If you got Smithies, you got him to earn that cash, and he's done that. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Moving over to Parasite now.
There's a couple of guys in that back line that I really want to talk about. Joey Lussick, I think if you've got Joey Lussick, just trust in the process. He scored well without Brendan Hands on the bench. Brendan Hands came on and he didn't score well because of it. But there's a few things in this Parramatta back line that I think we need to talk about. Clint Gutherson, I think, is one that we need to have a fair chat about because his uptake in points when Mitch Moses isn't there is something like 12 or 13 points increase when Mitch Moses isn't there. And most of that's to do with goal kicking, except for the fact that he didn't kick that first goal last week, which was really strange.
Well, that last one either. He didn't get there.
Yep. And Bailey Simonson, who is in the centres, a lot of people started the year with him, then wasn't there last week. So if you've got Simonson, I guess you're pretty stoked about that. Blaise Talagi is someone that I think people need to consider. He got a 38 last week, playing halfback with a 42 from the centres the week before. That should put him in some good cash-generating areas.
The tricky part is here is we've seen already Brad Arthur's change up the side on the fly and changed it up before 24 hours before. This is the last game of the round. We also have Arcee on the extendeds, which we haven't had. With Blaze, I mean, Blaze has only been 5'8 last week. But that's my concern because he was actually going to be my cash down after the Tevita news came out. So I literally went from him to Blaze and then I saw Arcee in the extended. So I now can't do either of these because more than likely what will happen is being the last game of the round, if he's a late out, I'm doing this to maybe do like a Roger Tuivasa-Sheck to Ponga. Ponga's already played. Roger's already played. That trade is locked in, and I'm stuck with Blaze, who might get just completely left out in the 24-hour cutoff.
Floggy, he did speak highly of him, though, in the presser, so that was the one positive thing, I think.
Yeah, I think all year I haven't really felt confident with any Eels players apart from the mainstays, and for that reason I haven't had a single one in my side yet.
Well, I present Clint Gutherson as your alternative to Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. I think you should get Gutho.
Yeah, that's a good shout. Especially it's definitely an odd dynamic because most of the time, kind of your second playmaker in Brown, you would think would be the lifter, but it's years gone by. I'm not too sure of many seasons where Moses hasn't had at least a few games out. And it is Gutho who's usually the beneficiary of that. So, but it's not just the kicking goals, but it's also he does a lot of the play, the organising as well. And for the para, it does result in fantasy points for that side. So, yeah, I think it's one.
Also, Dylan Brown averages 63 without Moses in the side. That's the other one.
They're a very bully team, though, so it'd be interesting to know in conjunction to what those scores, which on paper, if you just look at Moses out, that's what he scores, but what were their matchups those games as well?
It'd
be interesting to see.
One was a round 26 against Penrith last year. One was a round 25 against Roosters last year.
I'm
looking to get him, guys. He's, like, really high up on my list.
So what's your top three trade-in list this week, Cookie?
Kai Pierce-Paul, I feel, if you haven't got him.
So is he number one or number three?
I'll probably have Kai Pierce-Paul as number one.
Oh, okay.
And then I'd have probably Dylan Brown, I like, or if you can still get someone like a Fogarty. And then probably, Gutherson would probably be up there too. But I'm sort of liking keeping an eye on these edges like Nicara. Lane and Angus, you know, they're where my eyes are set for coming weeks.
Yeah, Lane's been doing well too, hasn't he?
Yeah. You've got to look for the value more than ever this year because we're just not getting enough cash, Jen. So if you pick up guys that have lost 80K or whatever, like Dylan Brown, for example, you know, I think that's how we have to play it.
Yeah, I had a 50-50 last week where I had Carrigan or Terrell May. And in hindsight, I really should have gone May because he was the one who was earning more cash and is going to be a trade later on.
Sorry, Soggy, can I just throw in there just quickly? Mm. I think Pong is a good bring in this week as well. I think he's lost about 50 or 60K now, hasn't he? And
it's wouldn't a combination be a bad of his. He's cashed out, and we mentioned it before. I think it was before you jumped in, Cookie, that in the next six matches, they've got five pretty favourable matchups. So
Yeah.
That's interesting. It's probably not the ones that I would be looking at. Foggy, is there anyone else out of that three that Cookie mentioned that you'd be targeting this week?
I reckon if you've got a way to get Ponga in, Ponga's the way to go. I think he's your main target this week, just purely for those reasons. He's cashed out in the change in the side, and not only that too. Like Knights are in the top eight. They're now in bottom three, so they've got to start firing soon. Otherwise, their season's done before they've barely even got started. So it's all going to go through Ponga. He's kicking. He's actually kicking well as well. That was one other key point because last year he improved. The year before, we won't even talk about his kicking skills, but he's definitely improved in that, which is certainly a nice insurance on your fantasy score. So it's certainly helped him quite a bit, and we're seeing him move quite a bit as well. They're also using him as a bit of a dummy runner as well now because generally he is the guy that gets the ball. And they're starting to cut him out now, which is good. Not great for fantasy, but it's good that they're running those types of options. But I think Pong is your main target. You got to get him.
Yeah, I like that. I think Tulagi is one that I think you've got to put a fair bit of consideration into.
So that's you this week.
I'm probably not going to do it. I've got probably not a position that I need.
Okay.
And kind of happy to pass on that one. I need to fix up a couple of other areas. But I do think Tulagi, I think he's one that people need to seriously consider, especially given his price. He should pick up the DPP. Which makes him centre-half DPP with a very low break-even. So I think that's one that people should look at. As I said before, I'm very high on Clint Gutherson. I think you're going to get the same points from Gutherson that you would from Dylan Brown for about 40 to 50K cheaper. I think you're going to get very similar output from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Gutherson particularly, I like the idea of getting Gutherson. I know we're in round five and we don't have to really think about Origin yet, but Gutherson isn't going to play Origin. So I think that's a handy one to have as well. And I do also like, I think if you've missed, I don't think you can sit there and say that you've missed the boat on Fogarty. I really feel like if you haven't got Fogarty, he's one that you could look at this week as well.
No, that's true. Good shout, especially with the tricky combo of both Cleary and Hines out this week. So we're going to see some lower scoring halves this week. So if you've got somebody like a Fogarty in that spot, Galvin as well not being out, who was a handy deputy. He was still scoring the 40s and 50s as well. A lot of people are running the hookie, the rookie halves like the Hutchos and the Flanagans this week. So it's definitely going to be an interesting round this week. But Yeah, well, another one, I mean, we can't really talk about him as well because it's not really a factor until next week, but Iroh, who finally got a run, did very, very well.
Yeah.
For that too, so that might be the cash down for next week, but we'll have to see how that team lists and what that's got in store for us.
If Iroh gets named, I think he's one that everyone will need to jump on, and I think that's part of the reason I'm looking to avoid Blaze is that
the center.
If I don't get Iroh, don't get the option of getting Iroh next week, then I'll probably get Blaze, and I might even look at doing just seeing where a couple of those centers land, like a the Raiders bloke or Burbo, just seeing where they're at next week, and maybe one of them to Tulagi might be a good option.
Okay. Timmy, just quickly, I don't think with Tulagi, I think you could put him in your 14 to 17 too. I mean, especially if he does get this halves and centre DPP, I don't think it's the worst shout.
Yeah, I think the tricky part is we've got a lot of these blokes that Hutchison, Flanagan, Levi,
right.
Hughes as well. There was a lot of guys that were on notice last week that were ready to trade out, but they either get these change in positionings that make it worth the while, like Hughes, or they just end up
Danny Levi and score a try.
Oh, 100%. But it wasn't just the try. We saw this guy look like he was so dominant in that first round against the Knights, and still was lucky to get 30, even with the try. Yep. And then he just looked like he was just a weapon on the weekend. I don't know what happened or what they did to him, but he was a man on a mission. And their usual staple is 20 to 30 minutes for Starling for some reason. But they basically gave Levi almost all the time they normally would give him.
Yeah. Yeah, so the thing is, I think a few of those guys are kind of on the chopping block, a couple of those cheapies that maybe they've made their 100K, whatever, that you're starting to look at to get rid of. I think you can probably hold for a week. I think it's your big guys that might have peaked, or anyone over that 400K that maybe you're thinking has peaked. I think they're the ones you need to be trying to move on this week.
Hey, I don't want to put the pin in him, but Salmon's looking like a sell pretty soon too. He's on notice, I think. He's definitely slowed down with his price points. The only difference is he's not benched, whereas Satili is. So Satili's definitely the first one out.
Yeah, and if it was any other week, I think Salmon to Samuel Afainu would be a good shout. Or if Willison comes back, going to Xavier Willison would also be a good shout too. I reckon we call that a night though, boys.
Yeah, no, I think it's good. Good run, mate. Good night.
All right, let's do it. Thanks, everybody. Let's wrap this up, and we'll be back next week. Bye for now.